Today, we want to continue looking at this thought. Psalm 119, verse 68, "Thou art good and doest good." It took me years to find that. I'm sure I'd read it before, but one day it just leaped out at me. "Thou art good and doeth good." I can testify that I've served God since I was 11 years old, except for one year I took off for bad behavior. I can testify that God is good, and he does good to those who obey him and serve him. God is good, and everything he does is good. He promises that the generous man will prosper. Now, there is a source of evil, but you cannot blame God for what he does. Jesus warned us about this guy. He said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Peter warned us. He says your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we live in a demonized world, difficult, hard times, bad things happening all around us, but our God is with us. "And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me." God is good. God watches out for his people. The word says, "The Lord will deliver him in the day of trouble. In his illness, you will restore him to health." Those who are obeying God, serving God and serving people. God blesses his servants. Psalm 41, verse 1. "How blessed is he who considers the helpless." See, as servants of the Lord, we are not just to serve us ourselves, but part of serving Christ is serving people. We are to love God with all of our heart and love people as ourselves. And if you love people as yourself, you're going to want to help them and bless them. And so it says, Psalm 41, verse 1, "How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble." I pray these promises probably about every day. No matter what I'm facing, I say the Lord will deliver me in this day of trouble, no matter what the problem might be. Verse 2, "The Lord will protect him and keep him alive." The Lord's been protecting me and watching over me my whole life. And once I started driving, he had to sign more angels to me. But he is still protecting me and watching over me. "And he shall be called blessed upon the earth, and do not or will not give him over to the desires of his enemies." If you don't have any enemies that's out to get you, I know one that is, Satan. He's trying to set you up, defeat you, destroy you by getting you into some temptation. But whatever he's up to, God will deliver you. "And do not or will not give him over to the desires of his enemy," to the desires of the devil. Verse 3, "The Lord will sustain him upon his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to health." See, those who are serving God and his people will be delivered in the day of trouble and restored to health. How many know who Carmen is or was? The greatest Christian musician who ever lived. He had the greatest Christian concerts. He had concerts in some cities up to 70, 80,000 people. And we had him here to Thompson Bone Arena two or three times, and he filled it up somewhere around 22,000 people. And I mean, he was truly a man of God. He really taught that, because the devil always makes up lies about godly people, so you got to be careful what you believe. Because if you believe lies about other people, somebody may believe the lies about you. And so I heard a few things, but I knew this guy personally. He had a Thanksgiving dinner once with us in our own home. And he became close friends to me and Dottie. And he was diagnosed with cancer. And everybody's praying for him all over the world. And we had him to come here during that time to preach on Sunday morning and to sing. And that night, I was reading scripture and praying, and I came across this verse. "In his illness, you restore him to health." And I said, "Oh, praise God, I need that." And the Lord spoke to me. He said, "That's not for you." I said, "But I want it." He said, "That's for Carmen." Wow. And I wouldn't have thought of that in a million years. That's God. So he came that Sunday morning and ministered in the services. And then after that, we took him out for lunch, for dinner, Sunday dinner. And I gave him that scripture. And he read it. And all of a sudden, it's like we wasn't even there. He got focused right on it. And he read it. He looked it up on his smartphone and read it. And then he says, it says, in his illness, you restore him the health. He said, I think I'm going to put that in a song. I don't think he ever did. But anyway, he's in heaven now. But that cancer disappeared and never came back. I don't know really what kind of man of faith he was, but he was a good godly man. I know that. And he, like the rest of us, he may not always have the faith he should have had. But a time or two, it was on Facebook that they thought the cancer would come back, but it never came back. Amen. God healed him and restored him. And you know, you got to believe God for everything, not just cancer. And so anyway, God worked a miracle, I believe, and he's used this in my life. It's a word from God. We take the word of God like it's mystical, and you just never know hardly how to take it. It's spiritually discerned. Yes, it's spiritually discerned because Jesus said, my word is spirit and life. And so when you read it, it means exactly what it says, and it quickens you to produce faith just like it's written. If you don't believe that, you're going to have a rough time in life. You've got to believe this is the word of God, the Bible. Not my words, the Bible. The Lord will sustain him upon his sick bed. Now, that's those who serve him and bless people, and that's certainly what Carmen did. He had these giant concerts, and I tried to get him to charge at least a small fee. He would not do it. He let everybody come free, and I almost bankrupted him, too. I said, Carmen, you need to charge a little fee here. I mean, you know, not a big fee, so people can't afford it. But he wouldn't do it. The Lord will sustain him upon his sickbed in his illness. And that's back when he was doing the big concerts. In his illness, you restore him to health. Those who are serving God and his people will be delivered in the day of trouble and restored to health. Psalm chapter 37, verse 18. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. How many of you know if you're serving God, you have an inheritance that's going to last forever? Can you say amen? You say, well, I'm not blameless. If you've confessed your sins and you've been cleansed by the blood of God, in God's eyes, you're blameless. And don't let the devil tell you any different. The Lord knows the days of those who've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and their inheritance will be forever. Verse 19, they will not be ashamed in the time of evil, and in the days of famine, they will have abundance. Don and I came here and started this church from zero. I never worked a job except pastoring this church. Donnie worked for a little while and realized it was costing us more to have daycare than she was making, and so she just quit. And I'm telling you right now, we never missed one meal. God took care of us no matter what. He provided everything we needed. Verse 20, but the wicked will perish. You see, it is according to our faith because we must believe all these promises. We will not be ashamed when bad things happen. And we will have abundance during famine. You know, during COVID, people were scared to death. But God took care of us. Amen. We had one person that was in his 80s that went to heaven. And God healed every one of us. Except he took that one to heaven. Can you say amen? Amen. When it's your time to go, you're going to go. I don't care how many people pray. I don't care what the circumstances are. It's appointed that the man wants to die. When my time comes, I'm going to go. Amen. And so are you. But until then, I plan on being healthy, well, and hi. That's one of my favorite people right there. She works with our youth. And I love it when you sit on the front row. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. How you doing? You healthy and well? Good. Huh? To God be the glory. Can you say God is good? Does he do good? She's one of the pastors with the youth. Does a great job. Helps Ronnie. We will not be ashamed when bad things happen. Proverbs 11:25, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. If you want to be blessed, you need to bless other people. Amen. The Bible says, pray one for another that you may be healed. I love praying for you because when I'm praying for you, I'm believing God to heal me. A generous person who blesses others will prosper and be blessed. If we want to be blessed, we must be generous with other people. So, as you can see, these promises are great, but they have conditions. They have conditions. Must be generous. Proverbs 11:31. If the righteous receive their due on earth. And we know the righteous will receive blessings on this earth. I certainly have. And these scriptures I've been given now, this is the fourth week, prove that. Back it up 100%. That's one reason I feel like God wants me to do a series is because you can see that God blesses his people. He's good and does good from the beginning of the Bible to the end. And if there's any bad going on, it's the devil. Did Jesus put bad things on people when he's on earth? No. Matter of fact, he cast the devil out of people. He healed people who are being abused and depressed, in some cases being destroyed by the devil. A little boy the devil was causing to fall into the fire and into the water. Jesus delivered him. He never one time ever put anything bad on anyone. From beginning to end of the Word of God, it says God is good and God does good. But if you hadn't figured it out now, you live in a demonized world. The devil's at work everywhere. And that's the reason Jesus Christ gave us authority over him is because he knows he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's a liar and a murderer. If you let your guard down, he'll even try to kill you. As a Catholic priest, I think Friday or Saturday, just good innocent guy just shot and killed for no reason. Somebody just killed him. I mean, you walk out these doors, you never know. And you need to have faith that God's taking care of you and he's got angels watching over you. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't go outside. I sure wouldn't drive the way I drive if I didn't know the Lord's watching over me. Proverbs 11:31, if the righteous receive their due on earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? You see, the righteous will receive their due on earth and much more the ungodly. God will take care of the ungodly. It may seem like they're doing really good right now, but in the end, they're not going to do so well. Psalm 112, verse 1, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. What does that mean? It means he loves the word of God and he's glad to obey it. Verse 2, his children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Verse 3, wealth and riches are in his house. Wealth and riches are in his house. You might be saying, well, I'm not doing too good right now. If you'll serve God, God will bless you. Take care of you. And rich means different things to different people. I've never wanted to be rich. I've never wanted to have a lot of money. The more money you have, the more trouble you have. People try to take it away from you. And in 2017, God gave us a house worth almost $1.5 million. Just gave it to us. And it really messed me up because I was so proud of being poor and humble. But look, this is what it says. Wealth and riches are in his house. Almost didn't even receive it because I was so proud of being poor and humble. And it cost a lot to live in that thing too. But I feel like God has used me and Dottie to show you that God wants to bless his people who will serve him. We started the church in 1980, and about every extra dime we ever had, we put back into the church. And we lived long enough to really see him start blessing us. I don't care about that stuff. I care about obeying him. I don't get any joy out of anything except the presence of the Holy Spirit. My favorite thing to do is get somewhere and just talk to him, spend time with him, read the Bible. Of course, the devil always shows up and he tries to discourage you and tells you all the bad things are going to happen and tries to put depression on you. You got to learn to chase him off. Get out of my prayer closet. Get out of here. Wealth and riches are in his house and his righteousness endures forever. Verse 5, God will come to him who is generous and lends freely. If you're greedy, then forget it. I'm not greedy. I want to be blessed, so I refuse to be greedy. Good God will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice, never cheats anybody, never lies to anybody, treats people the way they want to be treated. Verse 7, he will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. It doesn't matter if you hear something that doesn't sound good, sounds like bad news. If you're truly trusting to God, God has a way of taking that bad news and turning it to good. There is evil all around us. Bad things happen to good, godly people. But the Word of God says that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love God, those who are called according to his purpose. That is the correct translation. God causes all things to work together for good. It doesn't say he sends all bad things. It says he takes the devil's mischief and turns it to good, causes to work for good. And I found that to be true. I've had people do things they thought was going to hurt me and destroy me, and God turns it around, turns it into a blessing. My daddy was a high-tempered spitfire, as you know. He called me every kind of name there is. He caused all kind of hurts and scars in me. He would just get mad and say things. He didn't realize he was hurting me, but he did. And God had to heal all of that and work miracles in me to heal that. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. And because of those bad things, God has healed me and restored me until I'm almost normal. Judging from some of you normal people, I'm not sure I want to be normal. But because of those things that happened to me, God turned it to good, and now I understand people. I'm a much better pastor because of all those bad things. But I know God didn't do it. The devil used my dad and others to do it. Amen. So whatever you've been through, whatever hurts and scars and abuse you've taken, God can take that and turn that into the best thing that ever happened to you. Amen. But you got to trust him to do it. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Did you get that? Trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. It doesn't look like you're winning right now, maybe, but you will win. If you don't quit, the devil's only hope is that you'll quit. Amen. I don't quit. Amen. I have a sermon I preach once every 20, 30 years. The 11th commandment, thou shalt not quit. Thou shalt not quit. The generous man is blessed, and he has no fear because he trusts in the Lord. He doesn't have no fear just because he's brave and tough. He trusts in the Lord, and he knows God's got it. God's going to take care of that problem. In Psalm 128, verse 1, how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Are you walking in his ways? Do you fear God enough to do what he tells you to do? How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Verse 3, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Those who walk in the ways of the Lord will be blessed, them and their children, promise from God. Now let's shift gears just a tiny bit. He delivers us from trouble, calms the storm, and guides us to a safe place. Basically, this first part, we're talking about how God blesses his people, meets every need, even in famine. When everything goes wrong, he's there. He takes bad things and turns it to good to bless us and prosper us, blesses everyone who fears the Lord. Psalm 107, verse 28 says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. In this life, you're going to go through some real trouble. Like that young man, I don't see him here today. Last week, came up to me after service. He said, I've been going through some real situations in my work and in my career. And these messages have been exactly what I need. And so this is what we need when we're going through some stressful situations. Then they cried out to the Lord in their troubles, and he brought them out of their distress. He can bring you out of that thing better than you were when you went in. Verse 29, he stilled the storm How many times, boy, when I've been really shaken to my foundation. Our second daughter was born with a major heart condition, heart literally hooked up backwards. You talking about a shaking. I mean, that scares the daylights out of you. I mean, that tries everything in you. He stills the storm. In the middle of that storm, I prayed through and God gave me peace. And I saw that baby healthy and well. And she's still healthy and well in her 40s. Got three kids. So far, when it comes to that, she's outdone the other two. He stills the storm to a whisper. You can say, I believe this because I've been living it. This is not some preacher that read a book from some other preacher and get them to, oh, no, I've been reading the book, all right. The Bible. Get out of here, devil. Verse 29, he stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm. And he guided them to their desired haven. God's got a safe place for you. Amen. Boy, it may not look like it right now in the middle of the storm. But if you'll stay faithful, amen, he'll take you to that place. He delivers us from trouble, calms the storm, and guides us to a safe place. Aren't these great promises? Amen. Listen, this is just the Word of God. And if you think it's just isolated scriptures, this is the fourth sermon. I've got another one. They preach someday. I mean, there's tons of promises here that God is good and does good. But you got to get off the fence and serve him. And you got to love people and help people. That's why we're here. Love God, love people. Help people, bless people. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Well, I thought if I got saved, I was going to be trouble-free. Well, you thought wrong. Because you live in a demonized world. But it doesn't mean you're going to be destroyed. Amen. You can come through. He stilled the storm. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. The key to success in living a Christian life, godly life, successful life is to live pleasing to God. In Psalm 37, verse 32, the wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. We're talking about how God protects those and provides for those who are in trouble. The wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. The Lord will not leave him. The Lord will not leave the righteous in the hands of the wicked man is what it means. The Lord will not leave him in his hands. The hands of the wicked man, or let him be condemned when he is judged. It may seem like your enemies are too strong for you, but God is stronger and he's on your side. And he's even got angels watching over you, even to bear you up in your hands if you do make a mistake or dash your foot against a stone. The Lord will deliver us from the wicked and will not allow us to be condemned. Psalm 147, verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Now, it says heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. I believe wounds means the inner hurts and scars, the abuse that you've taken from other people, like my daddy cussed me and all the things I went through. All those hurts and scars in me, God has worked miracles to heal and restore me almost to being normal, as I said. And so not only does he heal the broken heart, he heals the effects all those things have had on you. And that's why Rapha, I believe, God gave us that word Rapha because it means to be made whole emotionally. I mean, you have an IQ through the roof. But if you have all those emotional hurts and scars and you act weird all the time, you're never going anywhere. So just having a high IQ, it doesn't do you a lot of good. You got to be healed on the inside so you act normal most of the time. Can you say amen? Amen? And you have the ability to make good decisions. Are y'all paying attention yet? You sure? He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He heals all those hurts and scars that was inflicted on me by my father and others. And he is doing and will do the same for you. He delivers us from the wicked, heals our broken hearts, and binds up our wounds. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 29. Blessed are you, O Israel, the Lord, the people of God, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord. In other words, the body of Christ is very special. We're very privileged to be saved and know Jesus Christ. We're a peculiar bunch of people living in this evil world, and we have all these blessings and promises that others do not have, and a lot of times we will not believe God for it at all. Years ago, I think it was a personal rebuke to me, I don't, but all of us can benefit from it. I saw a vision of Jesus Christ, and he was crying. And before I had a time to even ask him why he's crying, he said, I'm crying because I have provided all these things for my people, and they will not believe me for them. It breaks the heart of God when we refuse to believe these words and these promises. He is our shield and helper, and he is your shield and helper, and your glorious sword. Then your enemies will cower before you. All those in the kingdom of God are the people of God. He is our shield and helper and glorious sword. Let me read that first part again. Blessed are you, O Israel, the people of God. Blessed are you who are the people of God. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. In other words, you are greatly blessed because you are the people of God, and your enemies will cower before you. And I'm telling you, that's the truth. Amen. If you'll be patient and serve God, everything doesn't work in an instant. Psalm 37, verse 27. Depart from evil and do good. And that's important. Depart from evil and do good, so you will abide forever. Verse 28. For the Lord loves justice, and those who forsake, and does not forsake his godly ones, they are preserved. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake Barry Cumberson, no matter what's happening. He does not forsake Linda Deering, no matter what's going on in her world. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake the godly ones. And we're only godly because Jesus lives in us. We're nothing special. And neither are you. But God will fight for little old you. Amen. Amen. How many can already testify? I've seen the Lord fighting for me. Amen. Come on. Testify. Over half of you. And the other half, you need to quit lying. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. You see, the people, and let's look at this thought. The people that cause us to fear are the very people the Lord laughs at. Amen. Who are you afraid of? Psalm chapter 37, verse 9. For the evil man will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Amen. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. You see, if you're not born again and you're not serving the Lord, you need to be born again today before you leave this room. You confess him as your Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Confess your sins. He'll forgive you and cleanse you. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why is that important? A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. If we're not born again, our day is coming, just like everyone else's, but if we're not born again, we're not ready. Amen. A person that's not serving God may look like they're being blessed, but really they're not. And if they live long enough, there's a good chance they'll lose everything they got, including their health, and die without Jesus. The most important thing in this world is to be sure that you're born again. A little while and the wicked will be no more. though you look for them, they will not be found. Verse 11, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Meek, what does that mean? It means people who trust God. Meek doesn't mean you walk around like an old broken down mule. It means you realize you can do anything through Christ who strengthens you and enables you, but only through Christ. That's what meekness means. Moses was meek too, but he was tough. He was meek in the sense he trusted God. You see, the wicked plot, verse 12, the wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. Verse 13, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their days is coming. Verse 14, the wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their sword will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. You see, their hearts will be pierced by their own swords, and their bows will be broken. In other words, they will defeat them on their own selves. The Bible says if you dig a hole for someone else, you're going to fall in it. If some evil person digs a hole for you, they're going to fall in it. If they come at you with a sword, they're going to wind up stabbing their own self. God has a way of taking what people mean for evil and turning it to, for your good. And I've had my issues over the years, and God has always protected me. And one person God protected me from was my own daddy. Yay. He put a shotgun in my stomach one time, threatened to kill me. But God was protecting me then. He's protecting me now. Amen. So why did he do that? Because he was beating up my mother, and I jumped in between them and tried to stop him, and he didn't like that. He said, I'm going to kill you. I'm telling you right now, God has really protected me and taken care of me. Amen. My whole life. Thank you, Jesus. And he's going to until my time is up. Can you say amen? Same for you. That's why I can preach this. I know it's true. Now, tomorrow morning, if something goes wrong, I'll be just like everybody. Oh, my God. What I'm going to do is going to dig these promises out and put my feet right on them and stand. Can you say that? Hey, it works. I got a couple right there that's really amen in me like crazy. I love you. Well, there's three of them. Thank you, Jesus. All cheered me on. I need that every now and then. Some of you stare me down like, you will smile, grin, say amen, another just, God, what are they thinking? 2 Kings 18:28. Now, God proves this over and over in the Bible. Look at this. 2 Kings 18:28. Then the commander stood and called out in Hebrew, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you. He cannot deliver you from my hand. Verse 30, do not let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord when he says the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Samaria. Don't you believe Hezekiah when he tells you the Lord's going to deliver you. And listen to this. Do not let Pastor Barry Coverson persuade you to trust in the Lord when he says the Lord will surely deliver us. You see, while I'm preaching this, the devil's sitting right beside you saying, don't you believe him? He ate too many beans or something last night. He got some bad beef. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. Yes, God will deliver us if we'll serve him. Amen. Is that right, Linda? Yeah, they'll believe you. Okay. She said, that's right. The Lord will surely deliver us. Verse 33. Thus the God of any, has the God of any nation ever delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Be careful about looking at other people and say, well, God didn't deliver them. But maybe they don't have the same God you got. Amen. The Assyrians, the other nations they were facing, they didn't know the God of Israel. Right. They didn't know the God of the Bible. And so they couldn't stand against this evil king. But Israel had the real, true, living God. And he said, this is my city and you're not taking it. 2 Kings 19, verse 22, Hezekiah the prophet says, Who is it you have insulted and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted your eyes in pride? He's talking to the king of Assyria, Sennacherib. Against the Holy One of Israel, that's who you've been blaspheming. You're not just blaspheming Israel. Israel is a great nation, but it's great because of their God. God has raised them up. And when you blaspheme Israel, you're blaspheming God. Amen. You see, those blaspheming America and accusing America of being evil to the core, really and truly, if God raised this nation up, they're blaspheming God. If God raised it up. And it was started as a Christian nation. Anybody tells you indifferent is either lying or they're just ignorant, because even in my day, I go way back, and in school, everyone in all the schools across America were taught the Word of God. If it wasn't started as a Christian nation, how do we get to that? And in the first grade, they gave me a ruler that said, my teacher said, this is the golden rule. I thought things may ought to go. Well, what was on that ruler, it says, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Amen. That's what America believed and practiced in just a few years ago. It all changed, really, for my generation. It began to change when I was in college and seminary. This nation turned its back on God, and look at us now. You know, oh, it's the richest nation in the world. Are you kidding me? We're bankrupt. We owe 36. People don't have a clue to what $1 trillion is. There's no way we're going to be able to pay that. And now China's going way ahead of us militarily. And I mean, we're really in big trouble because we turned our back on God. Don't blaspheme against God. Amen. And don't, this nation was raised up by God. It's not that way now, but it was raised up as a godly nation. And people who condemn it better be careful. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Because God is not through with us yet. If you and me would do what we're supposed to do. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. No matter what you think about this country, it's the only country you got. And you better stand up for it and trust God to bail us out. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, I'm a history major. I've studied history. I've studied America from its beginning to now. America has had some problems, but name one country that hasn't. Amen. Compared to all the others, it's still by far the best. With all of our problems and all of our hate and all the things that we've been through, we're still the best. And we need to be praying that God will heal us, heal racism, heal all the hate that's been spewed out all over America, and heal people from deception and lies, restore people to sanity. Can you say amen? Amen. Verse 32, therefore this is what the Lord says concerning the king of Syria. He will not enter this city or shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it with shield or build a siege ramp against it. I believe God is still fighting for America. This thing is not over. I believe this can be and will be our finest day if God's people will start praying and seeking the face of God. And don't give up on America, because that's all you got. Amen. If this thing goes down, and it could, we will all go with it. Amen. All races, all colors, all creeds, all codes. Right. Can you say amen? Amen. By the way that he came, he will return. He will not enter this city, declares the Lord. Verse 34, I will defend this city. I'll defend this nation. I'll defend this church. I'll defend this business. I'll defend your home. I'll defend your ministry. Can you say amen? And save it for my sake and for the sake of David, my servant, and save it for my sake. God wants to save us, save our homes, our businesses, our jobs, our churches, everything that we put our hands to. He wants to save it for his sake, so we have a great testimony of the salvation of our God. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. These Egyptians, these circle whom this marks, as you've seen today, shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. I will defend this city and save it for my sake. You see, that night an angel went out and put to death 185,000 of the Assyrian soldiers. Sennacherib, the wicked king who was blaspheming God and God's nation, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, returned to Nineveh, where he was murdered by two of his own sons. God took that loudmouth blasphemer down. Amen. Don't you doubt for 1 minute, he's still God. Yeah. And I don't care what kind of mess you're in, God will help you if you'll turn to him. Amen. Put your faith in him. Is there anything too hard for God? Thou art good and doest good. God promises that the generous man will prosper. He delivers us from trouble, calms the sea, and guides us to a safe place. Thou art good and doest good. Do you have a problem or a situation too big for God? John Uchak, who's in the first service, I need for him to stay in the second service because he validates some of the tales I tell. But I was having some problems at the end of January. One of them was sickness, and one was something else I was concerned about. And so every now and then I send a text, a priest, please pray for this. I sent John a text, and he sent back a message that sounded kind of insulting at first. I've told this a couple of times, but you need to hear it again. Because I don't always practice everything I preach perfectly. And John sent me a text. His question, have I ever let you down? This is just in January. Question, has God ever let you down? Now, you've let him down. I've let him down. But has he ever let you down? That's really what this series is all about. God is good, and he takes care of his people. He doesn't let us down. But we have to do our part. Amen. Amen. Do you have a prayer time? How can he talk to you if you don't pray? Do you read the Bible? He speaks to me through the Bible. And if you have a hard time just sit down reading straight through something, take these verses. I'm making it easy for you. Compile them, put them together, and read through them when you have a problem. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing, and by hearing. These great, you could almost call this series a small promise book. Amen. Amen. Be a doer of the word. Let's all stand.